So, Father, we thank you for the relaxed way in which we can meet on a Tuesday morning like this and share our feelings and thoughts and experiences and share what you're teaching us about your precious self. And so, Lord, we thank you again for this great, simple, beautiful truth that you are the great I Am. Lord, it's we can't plumb the depth of that, but help us to take it with us day by day. And whatever we're going through, Lord, to realize that you are greater and that you are with us. But now, Holy Spirit, as we consider this outline of how to lead a soul to Jesus, Lord, we ask for your sweet anointing upon it. You know, Lord, it's only one of many, many, many outlines. But, Lord, you've used it, and help us, Lord, to discern what you want us to do in it and through it, through our contacts with people, for the glory of your name. We ask it. Amen.
Amen.
You know, we are here praying for others and people that we want to lead to the Lord. If you're like me, very often you forget. And it isn't until something happens that you're suddenly confronted with someone who needs to know the Lord. You suddenly think, well, what do I do? What do I say now? Do you see? And I just want to fill that little gap. Because, you see, there are many sections, if you like, of leading a soul to Christ. And the first one is building a bridge. You have to build a bridge of confidence and of trust. And we don't want to go into that because you ladies are particularly good at it. You make friends, you share things, you just open things up in a friendly way. And you can do that quickly, very often. I find my mum was great at that. She could chatter away. She didn't bring the Lord in it. Pardon?
She was lovely.
Yes, that's right. But she could take up a conversation about anything and chatter away about it. And in a sense, we need to do that. We need to chatter away about ordinary things. For instance, I often say the milkman comes to the door. He doesn't say, look, I want to be born again. He says, how many pints do you want today? You see? And if you're sensitive, you can take up from there in many cases, in many instances. And the way the Lord will do it, at least my experience has been, that he will touch every person who has an open nerve, an area where they're paining, where they're hurting. The woman by the well was hurting. And Jesus put his finger on that open nerve. He whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that opened up her whole heart to listen. And you'll find the same, that when you're talking to people, very often, as we're praying as quietly in the Spirit, the Lord will lead you to say something that touches that open nerve. And then they change. And they become want to know. Now that varies tremendously with each of us, but I'd like to mention that as the first thing. As you pray about leading souls to Christ, remember that, Lord Jesus, guide me to the open nerve that's paining in this person's life, because that is the way in. You must learn to pray that prayer, because very often, as you begin to talk about the thing that they're really paining and hurting, then the bridge is built, as it were. They want to listen. And that'll come about as you pray in your heart, Lord, lead me to the painful area in this person's life. You may not know it. You may not know you've touched it. I remember a classical example. We were at a conference one day, and giving out John's Gospels. And some of the leaders came with me and said, look, can we come with you and see how you give out these Gospels, you see? And so we came along, and I stopped by a lamppost, and I gave a Gospel to somebody, and oh, he blew his top. He said, oh, you blooming Christians. It's a load of rubbish, all your business about Adam and Eve and God. And he really was so angry. And so I said to him, I just quickly pray, Lord, just guide to the open nerve. And I said, you know, well, the Garden of Eden was like a garden. I said, a garden can be two types. It can be all nicely kept, or it can be a bunch of weeds. And it completely changed. He said, goodness me, he said, my life is a bunch of weeds. I'm living with someone else's wife, and it's hell. You see? So that was my cue, wasn't it? And we ended up kneeling on the pavement with him asking the Lord into his life to give him a new life, you see? But without that little word, we wouldn't have got in. But I'm not so saying that's always the case, but don't be afraid of that. Especially you lady folk, have your heart primed by the Holy Spirit in your talking to let the Lord lead you to something that's in their life that's hurting. And it maybe that'll be purely secular. You don't have to be very spiritual. It may come out of a television program, out of a newspaper, anything. And let that happen. Lord, where is the open nerve in this person's life? And that's a good, shall I say, introduction to not, it's not super spiritual, it's just ordinary conversation and sympathy and care and love. But it's an important introduction to soul winning. You don't plunge straight into the gospel. You have to win their trust and confidence. And you ladies are very good at that. You chat away and share, and that's the thing to do. I have a problem here that I normally, before this thing happened, this strokey thing, Betsy knows I used to go out, I'd be praying, and the Lord would say, go now. And I'd go out with a tract, you see, and wander around the area. And then the Lord would say, there's the man. There's always a man. I don't approach ladies. And I'd go up to that person and say, and start my little testimony, you see. And you must remember that testimony is very powerful when talking to people. So the second thing is, have a little testimony up your sleeve as to what the Lord has done for you or someone in your family. And you can always, people always listen to testimony. So ask the Lord to give you a testimony as to his goodness to you, and that will lead also into, it's a testimony of how God has helped you in a painful area. But don't despise those painful areas. Ask the Lord to clarify them. And even if you have to talk about something that's paining you now, then you can share that. Very often it'll make a bridge. So having made this bridge of confidence between you and this person, that may take time, it may take several encounters, several visits, it may take going around with sponge cakes or something to give them, just to make that friendly contact. Now, we could go on all morning, couldn't we, about that. What I want to come to is, now you come to the place where you can, where you have to say, would you like to receive the Lord Jesus as your Saviour? Now, don't be afraid to say that. I usually find there was a time when I was afraid to say that, you know, effrontery. But I find that it's useful. That's a wonderful place to come to. Would you like to receive the Lord Jesus into your life. You see, don't be afraid to say that. And sometimes you'll get a rebuff and they'll say, no, 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 I'm not interested, despite all you've done. But very often they will say, yes, I would, like that lady we were talking to the other day. But I asked her this question. We were talking to her, and she had a rough life. 5 children, and Elizabeth built a bridge with her by being kind to her and visiting her and so on and so forth. And we were sitting chatting, and I'd given my testimony. And I thought, well, this is, I'll leave that with her. And suddenly the Lord gave me a nudge and said, you haven't asked her, does she want to receive the Saviour? So I turned around and I said, look, would you like to receive Jesus now? And she said, yes, you see. And she made a simple commitment, you see. We don't know where she stands now. We're waiting to go back and see her.
Well, we were going to go back last week. We're going to visit her this Thursday.
Yes. That's another section, another talk, follow-up. We won't do that today. We're just concerned with, if they say yes, what do you do? And I just want to give you a little outline that I have used many, many times to see people come to the Lord. And I opened the Bible at John chapter 3. After dark, one evening, a Jewish religious leader named Nicodemus, a Pharisee, came to speak with Jesus. And I usually say he knew the Bible backward. It still didn't really bring him to heaven. Teacher, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miracles and signs are proof enough that God is with you. Jesus replied, I assure you, unless you are born again, you can never see the kingdom of God. What do you mean, exclaimed Nicodemus, how can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, the truth is, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can produce human life, but the Holy Spirit gives new life from heaven. So don't be surprised at my statement, you must be born again. Just as you hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from. Come on. And where it going, where it, you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. What do you mean, Nicodemus? I usually stop there and I say to them, are you like Nicodemus? Don't you understand what Jesus is saying? And they very often say, no, I don't. What does he mean? Do you see? And then I say, well, look, he's talking about two kingdoms. You need a visual aid in these circumstances, if you can. I say, he's talking about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the earth. Now, I usually put my three fingers, I say, those three fingers represent the kingdom of the earth, and these three fingers represent the kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of the earth? And I say, it's me, it's you. We are the earthly kingdom. And I say, there are three things that characterize our lives. And I've never yet met anybody who disagreed with this. First of all, our lives are restless. We live in a restless world. We're restless in ourselves, in nations, and between nations. There's a restlessness which we can't satisfy. And you can enlarge that as you feel necessary. But most people say, well, it is restless. And I usually say, do you find that your life is restless? Yes, it is. I don't know any. I don't know where to go to get to solve my problems. The second thing about this life is, links to the first, there is no real peace. There's no peace. You can modify these things, depending who you're talking to. There's no peace. And there's no peace in people's heart. And I very often find the next question, as soon as the first, is very often, is very useful. I say, do you have any peace in your heart? Not to go back to you. Oh. And that's a very good question to ask, because so many people say, no, I would love to have peace in my heart. And then I usually say, well, I want to show you how you can get that. And then the third question is, there's no future. We don't know what lies ahead. There's no real certainty of the future. And I very often bring that point and say, have you got any certainty of your future? If you can, I like to ask, do you know what would happen to you if you died? Where would you go? That's a terribly pointed question to ask, but it's a good one. What would happen to you when you die? Have you got an assured future? That's just those three questions, you see. And if you, depending on how close you are to the person, you can make them very pointed, like that, like an arrow. God will give you feathers to your arrows, as said. And then you say, well, let's look at the other kingdom that Jesus taught, the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God, we know, is peace. Jesus said, my peace I give you. The kingdom of God is deep, deep satisfaction. You say, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So Jesus wants to give you a deep and satisfying life. And thirdly, there is a sure hope. Jesus is eternal, and he is the way into heaven. And so there is the kingdom of the earth, there is the kingdom of God, and that kingdom of God is Jesus, and that's the one you want. What have I done?
What's number three? Peace, sure hope.
Oh,
should be three.
The third thing is eternal hope. Yes, sure hope. The third one is heaven, really. That's why I bound up with this question, where would you go if you died?
Sure and certain hope.
That's right, a sure and certain hope. Thank you. That's right. An assurance. Now, here's the crucial point. I say, where do you think that kingdom of the earth is? You can usually make a joke there. Do you think it's under the Queen's chair, or is it in the Vatican? No, it's me. It's you. You are the kingdom of the earth. You are all that and more. Where is the kingdom of the earth, of heaven? It is Jesus. It's Jesus. So how do I get born again? How do I receive this life of Jesus, this new kingdom? And then I usually say this. You can't get born again by taking your old life and making it into the kingdom of God. You might as well try to make a cathedral out of a railway hut. And I usually see that, you know. Now look, I said, now watch, I'll show you how it happens. This is Jesus, this is you. When Jesus comes into your life, what does he do? He brings the kingdom of God. He is it. You can't make it. So when you ask Jesus to come into your life, he brings the kingdom of God. And I usually do that. Now notice, you can't see my hand while you're looking at Jesus' fingers, because he's paid a great price to be able to do this. He's shed his blood to make this a reality. You are covered with the blood of Jesus when you ask him into your life. All these things you have to modify your own way, do you see? But that's the important thing. Nothing that they can do. It's letting Jesus bring his life into them, like that. And so you can then pause and say, do you think you've followed that? You may think these are stupid questions, but I've asked them many times. Have you followed what I've said? this all depends on the repartee you've made with the person, doesn't it? That friendliness, you can be friendly with them about it. Yes, I think I have. Well, now, would you like to make that step and ask Jesus to come into your life now? You see, now here's the great soul-winning point. It's very easy to listen to the enemy and say, oh, don't do that now. Leave it another time. But do it now. Just make that decision. But you'll get some rebuffs, but you'll also get people born again. You see? Now, if you don't lead them to the Lord, having done that little outline, you'll find that someone else will very often. And you'll find that most people that come to the Lord, it's because they've had a previous encounter with somebody who's talked about the Lord, or they've got someone who's praying for them. And so you can then ask them and say, look, ask the Lord into their life. So you need to have, finally, a little prayer in your heart for people to pray, and make it simple. I usually pray with them, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry I've left you out of my life, and I'm sorry for all that's resulted in my life. I see that you alone are my Saviour. Come into my life now and be that Saviour. It's lovely to think up ways of explaining the salvation and let Jesus ask them to come in. And as you know, it's sweet when someone prays that prayer. This lady we're talking about, I very often like to ask, are you aware of any change? And it's beautiful. I mean, this lady said, goodness me, she said, I just feel a lightness, something's lifted off me, you see. So the burden of a sin had perhaps lifted a bit. But you'll very often find that. You'll find they'll say, yes, something's happening to me. But if they don't, it's still, God will take it out. So we'll stop there, I think, because if we go on, we're coming into this whole area of what do you do for follow-up. Do you see? And that must be another thing, mustn't it? How do you take on from there? And that's a different thing. You know, there are several ministries that God gives us. There's the ministry of counseling, the ministry of teaching, of deliverance, of salvation. But the most difficult of all is the ministry of discipleship making. It's very much more difficult to make a disciple than anything else. And that takes time and commitment. I think we'd better leave that for another time. The principles of disciple making. I've spent most of my life making disciples one-to-one, you see, and it's much better. Discipling can either be group work or one-to-one.